This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
All right, glad you could be with us. SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. Happy Monday to you. As I said earlier, it's game week. It's college football begins this weekend. Only four games on tap. It really explodes next week, but it is here. The AP preseason poll is going to get released today. Now, if you've heard, this is like a, I know it's like a broken record with me sometimes, and I've said this many times. The preseason poll is important for college football for marketing. It's not necessarily important to determine who goes to the playoff. The committee is supposed to have a handle on that, regardless of what the rankings are. They're supposed to kind of have a handle on how college football is being played out, who's good and who's not, which is why you get their rankings much later. People always complain this time of year. You're going to hear it over and over again when people say, I don't understand how you could rank these teams without seeing them play. Well, you know, I get it, but imagine again, if you're a sport that has so many teams across so much of the country, if you are a guy that follows Wisconsin, for example, and it's kind of your school, it's kind of your team, maybe you follow a couple of other teams in the Big Ten, maybe you don't read everything Pete Futek writes or Phil Steele writes or anybody else, and you don't watch all the college football television shows, you just kind of follow a little bit about Wisconsin and maybe the Big Ten. How are you supposed to know if Oregon is any good? How are you supposed to know if Auburn is any good? Because those teams are going to be playing in week one. How are you supposed to know if Florida is going to be good? They're playing this weekend. You don't. But you need a gauge, right? You need a gauge. It's all marketing, right? When they put the little numbers next to the names, that's what they want. They want you to be like, oh, you know what? This sounds interesting. This is 7 versus 9. Right? Where do they get 7 versus 9? Who cares? They got 7 versus 9. That's what it's all about. It's not really about anymore the idea of putting teams together and saying, look, this is it. These are the teams. It is a sense of how the teams are built on depth and how the players that are coming back and all and the coaching and the schedule and all of that. But in the end, it's just a marketing tool. That's all they use it for. Now, I know in the old days they didn't, but nowadays that's pretty much all it is. All right, it's SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. All right, coming up, we'll get into the college football scene a little bit more, and also we'll get into some more NFL and the preseason takeaways next.
This is SB Nation AM. On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. So not only Florida and Miami playing in Orlando this weekend, Arizona and Kevin Sumlin on the road to play Hawaii on the island. By the way, did you catch any of the Cowboys-Rams game on Saturday night?
Sure didn't.
I know, I didn't either. But from what I saw in the, not the highlights per se, but the overall, you know, feeling of the game, it was, you know, good looking to be back in Hawaii. Good crowd. But I think you would have a good crowd. I mean, here's the NFL coming into town.
Well, I mean, you know, and, you
it's preseason, but who cares?
It's island style.
Yeah, come on down.
You just enjoy, I mean, you're always going to have nice weather.
That is true.
You're just always going to be in a good mood. It's hard to be a bad mood there.
So again, this is college football with the four games. There's two Division II games. I mean, not Division well, one AA it used to be called. FCS or FBS, yeah, whatever it's
why
called.
Why do they change it? It's not
broken. I don't know. I don't call it. I'm a creature of habit. I call it 1AA, and people are like, no, it's FBS, FCS, whatever it's called. I go, I don't care. I call it 1AA. It's the best way. It's the way my brain's worked. I've been doing this for a long time. It was called 1AA forever.
Ever.
And then one day you're asking me to change that? I'm not going to do it. If I was 22, I'd probably be all over it. But I can't even. FCS is the non-bowl teams, I guess, and the FBS are the bowl teams. But I just call it 1AA. It's how I know it. And those two
and
games are
call
also
that?
On Saturday.
Why? I mean, why does it have call to be 1A, 1AA, 1AAA? You know, I don't know. It's not 1AAA. Then it goes to Division 3, right?
What's the saying on Twitter? Don't at me.
Yeah.
I don't care. Don't add him
on the radio.
I am going to call it 1AA. It's what I do. It's how I work. I'm just a creature of habit. Do you know how long it took me? Remember when the Washington Wizards changed their name? They used to be the Bullets.
Yes.
You know how long it took me I kept forgetting over and over again.
But at least that was one the made Bullets. Sense.
I mean, the Wizards. I kept calling it the Bullets all the time. Also, I had a brief period of time where I was calling them the Charlotte Bobcats. Remember they were the Bobcats and then they changed to the Hornets?
Wait, they changed their name?
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, right? This is how I believe, if I remember correctly. So they used to be the Charlotte Hornets, Larry Johnson and all that. And then that team moved to New Orleans.
Right.
And then they got an expansion team and they became the Charlotte Bobcats. Because I think their owner was Robert Johnson. I think it was a cool way to kind of put his name into the team. But then that team got sold and then they went back to the old Hornets because the New Orleans mm-hmm. Hornets became the New Orleans Pelicans. And so they said, well, the name's available. We have some tradition with the name. Let's go with that.
Well, do you think we'll ever see in our lifetime the NBA going, you know what? It really doesn't make sense for the Jazz to be in Utah.
I remember we asked the owner that, remember?
Yeah.
I said, can you change the name? She's like, no.
Be the Utah Beehives.
You sure? It's like the Lakers. How many lakes are in Los Angeles?
Exactly.
Right? Minneapolis, that made sense.
Yep.
Los Angeles, not so much.
No, actually, I can think of, well, none of them are in L.A. They're all outside L.A.
Now,
although they do these gigantic ponds and call them lakes.
That's true.
We got that going for them.
But it's not the land of 10,000 lakes.
No, it is not.
Like Minnesota.
But so, no, I know exactly what you're talking about, where you're just a creature of habit. My team, San Diego Chargers.
San Diego Chargers, right? I've actually done that before. I'll probably do it many times during this season.
Easily, I guarantee.
When we're talking about the Chargers, I go, well, when they were in San Diego, oh, wait, I'm sorry, they were in L.A. I apologize, I totally forgot. This happens. So, nevertheless. Big Mac on Twitter, Antonio Brown. I wondered how the bright in the media spotlight was going to be on me. I think I've got this now. Thank you, Ty Hill. Yeah, Ty Hill's playing great. Have you seen him for the Saints?
Did he have any issues?
No, he doesn't have any issues.
No issues with the helmets?
No. So, he's doing... I think he's talking about Tyreek Hill, isn't he?
Tyreek Hill, yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm thinking about Taysom Hill.
No, Tyreek Hill.
No, but Tyreek Hill, he doesn't have any problems.
But exactly, I mean, Tyreek Hill's sitting there, he's like, oh, thank God for this. No one is paying attention to me. He's just going to go into get through preseason.
That's very true.
Start off in the league, and all we're going to be talking about with him is, did you see him catch that touchdown? Did you see him? He had like 200-plus yards, blah, blah, blah.
That's very true. That's very true. It's the Antonio Brown saga is, like I said at the last hour, I find it so fascinating from the standpoint of, I don't think many of you who follow this league regularly, read everything you possibly can, et cetera, I think we all were just waiting, like literally looking at our watches, waiting for something big to happen with Antonio Brown and the Raiders. And it probably didn't think it was a helmet issue, but thought it was going to be something, right? It was going to be something. He was going to be angry about something. And now it's this helmet thing. This, so funny. Poor John Gruden.
How did they not know this was going to happen?
I give John Gruden all the credit in the world for trying to, what is it called when you, dress a pig or something like that?
You can't put lipstick on a pig.
That's it. That's the line. Like, John Gruden has done his best to try to not make this that big of a deal. And I'm glad it really took Mike Mayock to go, fine, I'll be the bad guy here. Either put up or shut up. You either play or all in or all out. Instead, poor John Gruden's like, well, it's Antonio Brown. What are you going to do? He's great. Great player. We're excited to have him. You don't have him. That's the problem. You don't have him.
It's almost like, I almost get this feeling now at this point. He just doesn't want to do training camp. He just wants to come and play.
I think you're right. Maybe, and that's okay.
Yeah,
right?
Just come out and say it.
That's okay.
Preseason games. I don't really want to, don't feel I need to go through training camp. And right? There's some players who don't.
No, camp stinks.
They work out hard enough through the entire season, and then when they get into the regular season, sure, that first game, they're rusty, but everyone is. Even the guys who went through all of training camp, OTAs, And, you know, played almost every minute of the preseason games. They're still going to be rusty when it comes to game one of the NFL season.
I remember Clinton Portis in Broncos training camp. Camp do suck. Camp really do. That was his quote. It was great. Camp do suck. And that was a line we all used when we would go there. We'd all look at you. Camp do suck. It did. Nobody, veterans don't like it. All right. They can say, though, it's great to be back in rhythm. They would gladly not do it. They would gladly not do it if they could. They don't want to do it. And if you're Antonio Brown, you don't want to do it. Fine. Find a way where you can work it out with the Raiders. Like, I really don't want to do this. And they're like, okay, we'll make this. You know what you should do is you should go to a chirotherapy chamber with no footwear. Do that. Will that hurt? Nah, it'll be fine. Don't worry about it. Put some skin grafts on you. You'll be great. You'll be good as new. Then you can skip all of camp. But instead, it's just one big mess, big drama. Good. Fine. Antonio Brown. But one other thing to note, one of the great things that I like about this is, did you get the feeling with Mayock, the way he spoke about it? Don't you get the feeling that with Mayock, he is now finally saying there really is a presence here. There is a boss here. We are not going to be this loose ship like we have before. That's no offense to Reggie McKenzie, right? But it does feel like, wait. You all think we'll just let this go. You all think we'll just let this bounce around. We're not going to let this bounce around. No, the buck stops here. This is where it is. This is where I stand. I'm in charge of this, and this is where it is. Good for him. Because the Raiders, I can't remember the Raiders being like that in the past. Right? At least in the last decade. Right? I can't remember a Raiders team. Outside when Al Davis passed away, outside of that, I mean, which was about 10 years ago, maybe a little more than that, maybe 2010, right? About a decade, I have seen the Raiders become a rudderless ship. And at least Mayock is saying, guys, that's it. Done. All right? No, that's it. This guy is not going to drag this down. I will not let that happen. We are not going to be a team that is going to be Antonio Brown, and that's it, and we are going down with Antonio Brown. No, not at all. I got a bunch of guys here that want to win. I got a bunch of guys here that want to compete, and if Antonio Brown wants to be part of it, he'll be part of it. If he doesn't, he doesn't. At least they have that. And that's why, listen, I was critical of Gruden when he said, we support Brown on the helmet issue. I take it back, because at least Gruden said at the time, okay, look, if he's got an avenue to get his helmet, great, fine. We'll go down that road. Great. All right, we'll follow that to the ends is where we want to go. But until then, and then after that, that's it. We got to put the foot down. No, we're not suing the league. No, we're not going to back you on your lawsuit to wear your stupid helmet. Good. But you know what? Big Mac, you're right. It does take a lot of emphasis off of like a guy like Tyreek Hill or anything else that's going on in the league right now. And that's at least important from that standpoint. All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, Ron with two N's. We also got the big bad, the good, the bad, and the dumb that's coming up in about 20 minutes or so. We got that coming up for you as well. It's a Monday. It's SB Nation AM.
Hi, this is Mike Herzing from Let's Talk Wheels with an automotive tip brought to you by the great folks at Jeep. I was visiting a friend's shop the other day, and he had a late model car in there with random electrical problems. This is becoming more and more common as the cars become more dependent on electronics. The car was a 2016 model with 55,000 miles, so it was out of warranty. The customer was not having a starting problem, but the check engine light was coming on for different reasons, pretty random. He and I were perplexed, and we started looking at things in common, and there was only one, and that was the battery. And when we did a sophisticated test, it failed. The problem was a bad battery. Everything goes through the battery, and it was 3 years old. And batteries are failing at 2.5 years old. Folks, you have to have a good working battery for the car to work right. If your battery is over 3 years old, you're on borrowed time. This is Mike Herzing, Let's Talk Wheels, brought to you by the great folks at Jeep. For more tips, go to the new letstalkwheels.com. That's right, the new letstalkwheels.com.
Some people spend the summer hiding from the heat, but not you. You spend your summers outside, exploring all of life's adventures, and there's only one way to make sure your summer lives up to that. Experience it in a Jeep SUV during the Summer of Jeep. Whether you're exploring your city in a Jeep Wrangler, the 2019 Motor Trend SUV of the Year, or scaling summits in a Jeep Cherokee with best-in-class 4x4 capability, maybe you'll spend summer finding the perfect view in a Jeep Compass with its available panoramic dual-pane sunroof. Or maybe you'll take an impromptu beach trip in a Jeep Grand Cherokee, the most awarded SUV ever. For great deals on the best-selling SUV brand, visit your dealer during the Summer of Jeep. Based on Jeep Cherokee offering 2-speed power transfer unit, PTU, rear locking axle, low range 4x4 capability, exclusive Jeep Select Terrain with 5 settings, auto snow, sand, mud, rock, sport, Jeep Grand Cherokee has received more awards in its lifetime than any other SUV based on total 2018 SUV sales and awards light vehicle segment. Jeep is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
Listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
By the way, we're continuing our AFC South previews this week. We're continuing our NFL previews. We're doing the AFC South this week. Bob Kravitz is going to join us next hour. We'll talk Indianapolis Colts. And by the way, any news on Andrew Luck? Has he got the flu now or some sort of other ailment that's bothering him that we got to log into the Andrew Luck list of things that are wrong with him going into this season?
I mean, there is video of him warming up in the end zone, but of course he's not going to play.
No. And so, well, maybe he's getting better. Maybe I shouldn't be so hard on the Andrew Luck injury saga.
No, I mean, he hasn't done that well.
No.
So it's all right to kind of pile on him.
Gotcha. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. You know, last year was really amazing for them. They were 1-5. 1-5. And if you're a Colts fan, you're probably thinking, what? We just got Andrew Luck back. We just spent 2017 going 4-12. Now he's back and we're going 1-5 to start the season? Well, we're not making the playoffs this year because nobody makes the playoffs after starting 1-5 in the first 6 games of the year.
Never.
And then boom, they won 9 of 10 and they made the playoffs.
We do
and
have
they lost
a,
to the Chiefs.
We do have another tweet, by the way.
We do? All right, let me check.
No, from Captain Andrew Luck.
Oh, let's do the Captain Andrew Luck tweet.
Dearest mother, the dogmen bamboozled our unit. After days of running maneuvers together, they engaged us in a scuffle. Disappointing. 'Twas minor and counted for nothing. As for myself, the sawbones deem that I am on the mend. I remain patient and steadfast. Sanguine. Andrew.
Beautiful.
Nobody talks like that anymore, Tony.
Nobody talks like that anymore. Now, see, this is where you think you need the late Shelby Foote, who was part of the Ken Burns documentary, to kind of counter that tweet by saying, well, you know, Captain Andrew Luck said it was all for nothing, but you could ask all them soldiers out there whether or not they really thought that the game meant nothing, because as far as they was concerned, it was a real life or death battle out there. They were fighting for their lives. So Captain Andrew Luck may be thinking to himself, well, maybe all for nothing, but in the end, he didn't really have to fight, did he? He sat on the sidelines and watched the battle from afar. Meanwhile, fighting was going on, and it going on for a long time. 3 hours last time I checked. So a lot of battles, a lot of people out there fighting for their lives. So it's not exactly correct on it was for nothing. It may have meant a lot to a lot of people. I love Captain Andrew Luck tweets. They're the best.
They are. What is, excuse me for not knowing all the English words, but what's sanguine?
yeah. What do I know? I talk sports for a living nonsense.
He ended the tweet with, maybe I'm not saying it right, S-A-N-G-U-I-N-E.
All right, hold on.
Sanguine.
Hold on right now. This is one of the great things about having... How do you spell it?
S-A-N-G-U-I-N-E.
I-N-E.
Is it sanguine?
Optimistic or positive, especially in the apparently bad, difficult situation.
God, he's a brilliant man.
He really is, but that Stanford education is really worth it.
I mean, I read that like I knew what I was talking about, and I'm going back like, I've never even heard that word.
That might be one of them Stanford things we just don't know about, but they use it Stanford and nowhere else.
I think Bob Kravitz knows who is Andrew Luck really behind the Captain Andrew Luck tweets?
Yeah, or did they fool us?
Because he's got to follow Captain Andrew Luck.
They come really quickly. Don't they come too quick after games?
I always feel that way.
Like, even during the regular season, don't they feel like it just... Boy, it's like, boy, those pop really quick.
Well, here you go. You know, you want an interesting tidbit? Captain Andrew Luck only follows two people.
Let me guess. The real Andrew Luck and Peyton Manning.
No, the Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah.
And Ken Burns.
Oh, that's awesome. That is awesome. That is awesome. Good for Ken Burns. You mean to tell me Captain Andrew Luck's feed is only what the Colts are putting out there? And Ken Burns?
And Ken Burns.
And the occasional tweet that Mr. Burns will put out there? He's not following Jim Irsay and his trivia questions for cash and prizes?
Nope. He ain't got time for that.
You ever see Irsay's tweets where he's like, I got four tickets if you can name me the Colt that one time had a bloody nose and still rushed for 113 yards against a AFC East team. People scrambling to look it up. He's got some great tweets, but he's not even following him. That's great. Not even following the general Frank Reich, nothing. Just Ken Burns and the Colts.
Ken Burns and the Colts.
That is great.
It's kind of like, that reminds me of KFC. They only follow 11 people.
Oh, that's a good one, too.
Yeah, they follow five herbs and... No, they follow six herbs and the Spice Girls.
That's awesome. That is great. Well done. That's Twitter playground right there. All right, so wait a minute. Repeat that real quick. The KFC follows 11 people.
Yeah, Kentucky Fried Chicken. They follow only 11 people.
Okay, hold on. Six herbs.
Six herbs. And all five Spice Girls.
And all five Spice Girls. So... When they say, hold on, let me play this out. They say 11 herbs and spices are in the original recipe. Can we now conclude that includes six herbs and five spices?
Maybe.
Because they never really told us exactly what that is. It could be 10 herbs and one spice, but then you wouldn't use spices. So it could be 9 and 2, or it could be 8 and 3. But now we at least are closer to the formula in that it is 6 and 5. If we can play the Twitter game.
Yes.
That's another one.
And then somebody on Twitter needs to tweet me and tell me what really is the difference between an herb and a spice.
Yeah, because I have no idea either.
Don't they all come from the same place?
I have no idea
either. What makes this one an herb and what's this one a spice?
That's great. That is fun. That is a really cool. That's one of Twitter's gems. Because Twitter normally is a cesspool, but it can be really great sometimes. It can be really great. I use it all the time, so I really shouldn't call it a cesspool.
No. You're right. It is a cesspool.
It can be really nasty, but at least there are some moments of fun. Do you think, I have a quick question. Do you think Ken Burns knows he's only one of two follows by Captain Andrew Luck?
I don't know.
It's one thing to know Captain Andrew Luck follows you, but does he know that that's one of two that follow him?
That is a good question.
It is. Ken Burns is...
I'm not sure, because Ken Burns has 123,500 followers.
Well done. So, that's what happens when you make cool, award-winning documentaries.
Yeah, I don't know if he knows that Captain Andrew Luck has given him one of his only two follows.
Did you ever watch Baseball, the Ken Burns documentary?
Oh, yeah.
Wasn't it good, but didn't it feel like he dwelt on the old baseball too long?
Yeah, it felt like he rushed... The modern era.
Yeah.
It's like all of a sudden, and you got these. Boom. There you go.
Right. That's the way I felt. Like, he didn't spend a lot of time on stuff that was really relevant to me. Yeah. Like, I get it. Like, you want to do a little bit more on Ruth and maybe the Yankees and Mantle and some other guys of that era. But boy, when he got to the 70s, it was like, oh, shoot, we got to wrap this thing up quickly. And here was the last 20 years. Boom. Yeah. Like, don't give me Mordecai Three-Fingered Brown for 45 minutes. Or Cap Anson. Like, you can just touch on those guys. I think we're good. guys who pitched in the 1800s when it wasn't kind of really baseball in the first place. Good, the Bad, the Dumb coming up next.
SB Nation AM continues now on SB Nation Radio. Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, is the good, the bad, the dumb, a Monday, all weekend to determine some of the good, and let's have it.
All right, the good of the weekend, actually got two good, but this one.
Oh, good.
This one's fantastic. It's Rex Ryan from the Top Rope.
Oh, very nice.
That was
nice.
Bobby Carpenter explaining that every year that he played in the NFL, he would have his toenails
Why are we doing this again?
Before the season began, so they wouldn't just get smashed up, and then they would just sort of grow in at their own pace over the course of the year.
This is a morning show.
I understand that.
Okay,
now, most
we got to quit talking about
that.
Feet and toenails while people are eating their Cheerios.
All right. Well, let's not talk about feet.
Daniel Jones.
Oh, my gosh.
I was going to say, I almost said.
Wonderful.
Oh,
well done.
Couldn't say it better myself.
You know what? Get ahead of the problem. Say what we're all thinking. Well done. Well done.
I mean, if you've watched that video, the first time you were sitting there, you're looking at it like, do they realize what they're talking about and who they're talking about that in front of?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
So happy he just came right out.
Good for him, man. That is so great. Good for him.
Let's just stop talking about feet.
Now, you know, it's that I love people when they do that. They kind of go, they say something like, you know, you're all kind of thinking that I may have said something about this or I was talking about this back in the day and it got me a little bit of media for that. And now he makes fun of himself for that. I like that. It's very warming and a very good PR move.
Yes.
To get people to get, you know, more on your side.
And honestly, I mean, I see that just like the off-the-cuff humor, the relaxedness that he has, and that he's a great football mind. You almost look at it like you can develop a show around him.
I know. Exactly.
Just have fun with it.
He's a good. That was really smart. That was a good smart move. I saw somebody else do that over the weekend, and I can't remember. I couldn't remember. Somebody else made the same kind of joke about something that was part of their past. And I think it was in politics, but I'm not sure. But it was the same. I had the same feeling. I immediately warmed up to that individual.
Yeah.
Saying, oh, that's right. You know what? Good for you.
Self-deprecating humor.
Self-deprecating humor is the key.
I may not know what sanguine means, but I know what I can do self-deprecating humor.
That is right. Absolutely. Good job.
The other good of the day is Phil Mickelson.
Oh, he is really good.
On Twitter or on social media this weekend, if you didn't hear his the hotel he was staying in was struck by lightning and caught on fire.
This is why I hate lightning. This is why lightning scares me to death. It is unbelievably dangerous. I don't think we really understand how incredibly dangerous it is. We always go, oh, look, this is so beautiful, a lightning show. That is death. You are staring at death.
So here's what he tweeted when it first happened. How is this for crazy? My hotel was struck by lightning. I was on top floor. We were evacuated, and the place is on fire. Only thing of mine on fire this week.
I know.
I can't get back into my room and may miss my tea time because I am without clubs and clothes.
He also said his clubs were a fire retardant.
Yes, that was the second tweet. Lucky him.
He's really doing this right.
And then caught the latest of Fireside, was it Fireside with Phil?
Fireside with Phil.
He interviewed Tiger Woods this week.
Yeah, he did. He had Tiger Woods on this like iPad with pictures, and he talked to Tiger as if Tiger was there and not talking.
Yep.
But the problem with the Fireside with Phil, and I know what he was doing. He told a story that he has told many times before about Tony Romo. They were at Pebble Beach one year. Tony Romo was a playing partner of Tiger Woods. They get invited to Jim Nance's dinner. Romo is there. Tiger is not. Phil sits next to Romo. They start talking football and having a good time. And he knew it would get under Tiger's skin if Tiger knew that his playing partner was having dinner with Phil the night before. So Phil brought it up as they were walking down the first fairway, and he could see that Tiger was not very pleased with Tony Romo for having dinner with Phil Mickelson the night before. He's told that story before. It's a good story. It's a really, really good story. But I wish he had told a different one, because I was really hoping it was one I hadn't heard before.
Well, maybe he'll get around to it, but I think the greatest thing about it was that he was just cycling through pictures of Tiger.
Yeah, it was really funny. He goes, and then he gave him this face.
Oh, yeah, there it is.
Yeah, and he goes back and says, I like this face better. Phil's good. You know what I think Phil is angling for? And I'll tell you, I think he sees it with his former caddy. I think Phil's angling for a TV job.
Yeah, oh, God.
I think he sees...
like a talk show host?
I think he sees Bones, because Bones is doing on-course commentary now, his old caddy. And I think he says, you know what? I think I could do studio work for these networks in golf. I could be the next Johnny Miller. I know the sport. I'm not afraid to say anything. I'm very, you know, fans warm up to me. I can be funny. I think he's angling for a TV gig. Of course, it'll be a while. I mean, he's got the Champions Tour, but I don't know if the Champions Tour, would that be appealing to Phil Mickelson to play on the old time tour? Or do you think he would be like, nah, I think I'd like to be some TV, do some TV
work. Yes. I don't know if he would, what he would, at least for like the first 10 years.
Yeah. Maybe so.
I don't think he would appreciate it, because he's still playing well now.
With guys
half his age.
I'm trying to get out and play as much golf as I can. I don't get to play golf at all anymore. I hardly ever get to the course. I get bummed out. But when you do it for a living and you do it every day and all you think about is golf and how you practice and where you practice and when you practice, I wonder after 20, 25, 30 years of that, you go, all right, I want to do something else. I don't want to wake up and go to the range every day, or putt balls every day, or chip every day. I want to do something different. And I wonder if he's angling for TV. He'd be great on TV. I think he'd be really good.
I think so too.
He's great. I think he'd be great on TV. And these things he's doing on social media are brilliant. The stories are fantastic. There was one he did with Padraig Harrington, where Padraig Harrington told him how he got stiff for a five-figure dinner in Singapore because Phil just brought out all these wines, these different wines, because he lost a bet and he had to pay for dinner. So Phil said, well, if you're paying for dinner, here's all the wines we want. Brought out all these different wines. It was great. He's doing really great, but that's a really good good. All right, let's get to the bad.
The bad of the day. Louisiana Lafayette coach is requiring players to donate to school's athletic scholarship fund.
Is this Billy Napier?
Yes.
I love Billy Napier. Good kid. Good. Well, not a kid anymore, but he was a coach at Clemson about 10 years ago.
Yep.
But what's he doing?
He is encouraging all his players who are on scholarship to make the minimum level payment of $50 to the Raging Cajun Athletic Foundation.
Can he do that?
It's optional for guys who are walk-ons.
Can he do that?
I don't know if he can. I just think the mere fact of suggesting it to a college kid to say, hey, can you donate to the college fund or to the scholarship fund? I don't get the move here. I don't get why this is.
I don't either.
Why this needs to even be said.
By the way, I mean, $50 to a college kid might as well be like $1,000.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, what are you talking about?
When was the last time? You remember back in college, you had a spare 50? Did you ever?
No. I don't really barely remember that. Come on. That's a weird. I mean, obviously, listen, I think it's probably gone through the protocol. I mean, I'm sure his athletic director or people in his department have gone through it and said, is this something we can do before we have our coach publicly ask the players to do this? But it does seem odd that you're asking them to contribute to something. No, it's a fair trade. I give you my athletic ability, you give me a scholarship, and let's end that. Like, you don't give you any more. Like, you give me a scholarship, and I give you basically my life for 4 years as the best of my ability to make this football program what it is.
I mean, if this is something that's enforced, wouldn't this make it, hey, you got to start paying football players?
Right.
Argument even stronger?
Oh, of course. If you're going to take actual cash out of their pockets for this, I don't understand why he's doing it. To be honest with you, I don't understand why he would do that. I mean, it's one thing if a coach says, hey, you want to give, we're going to give some time to this, or we're going to give some time to that. But to ask players to pony up money.
Right.
And what, you got 100 football players? So what? It's going to be 50, you know, it's going to be $5,000 to the department or whatever it is. I don't know if that's a, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't, I'm not a big fan of this move.
No, neither. It doesn't sound right.
I hope it's not, like, enforced.
Yeah,
like
me either.
You have to do this.
Exactly. Exactly. All right, what is the dumb
of the day is there's a candy shop in Pennsylvania and Ohio. They have 9 shops across this. It's called Grandpa's Joe's. Grandpa Joe's. And they have come out with an Oreo cookie that's stuffed with a dill pickle slice covered in chocolate.
Okay, that, what?
Why?
Don't Frankenstein this stuff,
why?
Guys.
Listen, I mean, you know what? You peaked when you decided to flip-flop and just, you know, put the white cookie on the outside and have black chocolate icing on the inside.
Whoa, what are you talking about? Would they have that?
Yeah.
Is that a thing?
Yeah. You haven't had that?
No!
What?
I kind of want to have that now.
That one you can get behind. You know, the traditional Oreo cookie, they've
I definitely
it.
Can get behind that.
They've switched it.
I did not know that.
You gotta go check out the stores.
Okay. I remember the last Oreo cookie thing I saw was like red velvet or something. Red velvet cookie.
This was a long time ago, and I think they still have it in stores.
Okay.
They also have a heads and tails one.
It's now, is this a white cookie or is it like yellow cookie?
Yellow.
Okay, I think I've seen that before. My vision was that it was white as the cream in the middle.
No.
So it's like yellow, it's like with vanilla chocolate in the middle.
Yeah, whenever they do vanilla in a cookie, some reason it turns yellow.
Okay, I got you. I think I have seen that. Okay. All right. Oh yeah, and then they did mega stuff one time, which I did not enjoy.
No, that's too much.
No, it's a little too much. A little too much. There is a limit on that.
Yeah, double stuff. You can't go past double stuff.
Yeah, but don't give me triple stuff. Don't give me XL stuff. I don't need any of that.
Putting a pickle slice, dill pickle slice inside of an Oreo.
That is insane.
And covering it with chocolate does not hide the fact that this is disgusting.
Yeah, that is. I'm not behind that whatsoever.
Yeah, and you don't need to change the Oreo cookie is America's favorite cookie for a reason.
Right.
You can't improve on being America's favorite cookie.
Exactly.
Unless you're, I guess, putting a pickle slice in there, does that make you like Zimbabwe's favorite cookie? I don't know.
Every time we talk Oreos, I always tell you, I ate a whole box once.
Yep.
During one day of the AFC-NFC Championship games in 1993. Yes, I did. My roommates in college were like, finish that. And I was like, okay, I will. They're like, I bet you can. I go, I will. I don't know how many calories that was. I don't want to know. I probably should have died in some sort of coma, sugar coma. You know,
don't worry about the sugar rush you're going to have, the fact that you're going to be up for the next 3 straight days.
But let me just make this clear. I didn't eat it all in one city like Joey Chestnut. Like, it was over 2 long AFC and NFC championship games. I ate a bag of double stuffed Oreos. But
that's fine. That's fine.
Like, I started at like noon Eastern time.
Yeah,
and I think I got done at like 8 o'clock.
There might have been a bathroom break in between. Because, you know, when these guys are in food competitions, they're not allowed to go to the bathroom.
That's right.
That's why you weren't in a food competition.
And you probably were thinking your body was like, oh my God, what are you doing? Now, my body was like, okay, it must be a day that ends in Y to get this sort of nonsense. Mr. Unhealthy bought a juicer once to see if he could be healthy. That lasted a week.
I mean,
didn't want to clean it, so he'd rather go back to eating ramen noodles dipped in chocolate syrup.
It's college. Some people go through a case of beer. Others, you know, finish off a sleeve of cookies.
That's right. Macaroni and cheese and hot dogs for a week and a half.
Yep.
Good job.
That's why you can't ask a kid to give $50. He's eating Oreo cookies. That's it.
That's right.
He only had enough money to buy one package of Oreo cookies, and that was his dinner.
That's exactly right. God. Good, the bad, and the dumb. That's good stuff on a Monday. It's SB Nation Radio.
This is SB Nation AM. On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And this hour of SB Nation Radio is presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. All right, so Nathan Patterson, not to be confused with Nathan Peterman. Nathan Patterson.
Actually, I was confused the first time I saw the story. I was like, oh, Nathan Peterman is okay. He was an A's fan. I like
that. If you haven't heard his story, he was at Coors Field in Denver, and he was in one of them pitching machine cages, right?
Right.
Go on in, pitch, see how fast you can throw the baseball. He threw one 94 miles an hour, then he threw another one at 94 miles an hour, then he threw another one at 96 miles an hour, and his brother posted it on Instagram and said, hey, MLB, sign this guy. And they did, the A's.
The A's. And of course it's the A's, right?
Right, sure, why wouldn't it be?
They're just wanting to give us players that we can know.
So, they signed him, and he made his, what, major league debut? Or
no, his minor league debut.
Minor league debut. I'm sorry, major league debut. Minor league debut. Yeah,
give him a moment.
Right? Yeah, you know, don't make the story that Hollywood.
I'm not sure what inning he came into, but he pitched a solid inning and had three strikeouts.
It's awesome. Good job.
So, I mean, now we got to move him up.
Yeah, that quick. Let's move him up.
This is a good story. I imagine this is single A. I don't know. I mean, it's the Arizona League. I imagine that this team is not, that he's too good for this league. So he has to move up to the next level.
I don't think this guy's even played college baseball.
I don't either.
I think his last baseball was in his high school, from what I remember his story on. But he goes to these pitching machines. He's throwing in the mid-90s. I mean, yeah. You're going to try to harness that talent. Good for him. If he makes it to the majors, they're going to be all over this story. Hollywood.
Oh, my God, yes. Yeah,
I mean, they're going to be all over this. This is a kid who's bouncing around from pitching machine, you know, basically doing these pitching machine things to show off his skills.
I don't know if he's bouncing around. I think he just
Well, he decided... did it in Nashville.
Oh, did he as well?
Yeah, he went to Nashville and did it.
And you didn't recognize him?
He hit 96 at a pitching booth in Nashville.
In your own backyard, and you ignored him.
They didn't even cover the story. So, and that, well, I shouldn't say bouncing around. All I know of is two places. So it's not like he's taking the tour of America going, one day I'm going to be in the right pitching machine and then they'll really sign me. Good for him. What a good story.